The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus went out and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. My sisters and my brothers in Christ, will you pray with me? Holy and whole-making God, we give you thanks that your grace towards humanity never ceases, and you, the prodigal spreader of the seed of your grace, continue to scatter it. And in one year it takes no root in one place, but in another year in the same place it indeed may take root, and you in love, in patience, and in kindness continue to sow the seed. Grant us, we pray, faith to trust in you, to tend to the seed that you plant within us, and not to judge the places where it takes no root. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts this day be holy and whole-making for us and for the salvaging of this world that you, by your grace, have already redeemed. Amen. There are two kinds of vision, direct and peripheral. There are two kinds of hearing, foreground and background. God's Spirit manifesting the kingdom of God has often been peripheral and background, the sound of grass rustling in that primordial garden, the nocturnal voice that quickly awakened Samuel in a quiet way, the still small voice floating on the breeze that speaks to the beleaguered Elijah, and the sight of yet another perceived enemy of Rome crucified on a hill like so many dozens of others before and after him. Peripheral, background. And yet, there is power in what catches us from the corner of the eye, what is heard in the background. It causes us to look away so that we may see what is before us differently. It causes us to listen with an inner ear, no longer listening to the siren song of our day. The parable of the sower also invites us to see peripherally and to listen closely. The story of the sower, the seed, and the four environments need to be seen from the edges of its context and listened to for its persuasive rhythm of paradox. The obvious meaning is clear. The announcement of God's rule is like seed literally scattered received by various environments, and in some places takes root. Our peripheral vision sees beyond the seed to the hand which scatters, and our quiet listening hears the sound of the constant motion. The kingdom comes not with power and glory, but with humility and consistency, the small seed of forgiveness and hope and comfort and love cast over the heartland of humanity. This is the true power and glory of the kingdom of God. The perception of the peripheral, the sound of music in the background, these help us to notice the kingdom where we had never seen it or listened to it before. In Jesus' telling, the kingdom of God is manifest in parables of farm and kitchen, the ordinary things of daily life. It is found in the understated climax of Jesus' response to the disciples of John the Baptizer when they asked, "Are you the one, or shall we continue to look for him?" And Jesus sends back word through his apostles saying, "Go and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are touched and healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." A friend of mine is friends with the Lutheran Bishop of New York. The bishop tells my friend that the churches that surround Central Park are empty, sometimes filled with more paid choir than they are with members themselves. They are surviving on their endowments. The wealthy in their high-rise condominiums have no time for worship and word and sacrament. The churches that are growing are gathering the homeless around kitchen tables. The gospel is proclaimed. The sacrament is celebrated. Food and lives are shared. Jesus says that his kingdom is like mustard seed and leaven. The seed is insignificant and yet produces a habitat for all the creatures of the air. The leaven works imperceptibly but penetrates fully. To compare the kingdom with leaven was a scandal in Jesus' day. At Passover, every speck of leaven was to be removed from the home of the pious, but Jesus uses it as a sign of the kingdom's presence. Leaven in the loaf changes everything, and this kingdom will be found where least expected, and it changes everything. This message is at the heart of Luther's theology of the cross. Under the cross of our daily lives, the kingdom of God is established. This is very good news for all of us. Why? Because most of life is not lived in ecstasy, but rather on the edges of anxiety. Yet here God is present to transform our seeing and our hearing. The ordinary becomes sacred. The daily shower becomes the place of baptismal remembrance, bathed in the love of God. The kitchen table is connected to the table in this place, in God's house, we say. For God is in the breaking open of our stories, having become one of us. God is broken open under the weight of human sin and has only empathy and compassion and grace and love to share with us. "My body given for you, my blood poured out for you." And even your cup of coffee or locally brewed craft beer, when shared in edifying conversation, in kindness, in empathy, has sacramental overtones to it, playing in the background. All of life is alive and shimmering with divine mercy if we just catch it and hear it in the background. The mystery, the mysterion of which Paul speaks, not that secret that keeps us in the dark, but the secret that opens us up to the holiness of the ordinary, opens us up to the glow at the edges of our imagination, and the tones in the background. consistently, quietly, peripherally, God's hand sows the seed of the kingdom. And most surprisingly, God does it in and through the hands of those whose hearts are like soil, tilled by life's pains, parched by spiritual dry spells, watered with tears of disappointment's grief, blessed by moonlit nights of reflection and longing prayer. They are the ones who best sow the seed. They receive the seed of his word in the soil of their souls, and it grows. And they, in turn, scatter it freely, without fear of running out, without concern of wasting grace, only for the joy of the scattering. Only for the joy of the scattering. And here's the secret. In the very act of scattering the seed of God's grace and kindness and empathy and love and compassion, in the very act of scattering the seed, the kingdom of God is perceived in nascent form. God's work, our hands, the sound of the seed, gently landing on the hearts of humanity. In the name of Jesus, amen.